I'd like to speak this morning for just a little while on the subject of the example of a godly father. When we think about our fathers and our mothers, we know that the Lord tells us in His Ten Commandments that the first commandment with promise is to honor our fathers and our mothers, to give them their due. And we do that, and it certainly should never be just a one-day thing on the official holiday, but we are to honor our fathers and our mothers every day of the year. We're going to start in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is known as the second giving of the law of God. You may remember that the Lord gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai. And after he received that law, of course you remember Moses came down from the mount and he found the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf that Aaron had allowed them to make. And he was so angry that he broke the tables of the law. And we know that the Lord's wrath was upon them at that time. But then just a little while later, after Moses had interceded before the Lord on their behalf, the Lord gave them the second tables of the law. But we know that when they came to the border of the land of Canaan, they couldn't enter it because of their sins of unbelief. And so all those that were 20 years old enough were died in the wilderness, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 long years. Now, it's after that 40-year period, here near the end of Moses' life. Moses is about 120 years old. He gives, under the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord, his last testimony from God to the new generation of Israelites who are about to enter the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And he gives them some great commands here in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Let's read verses 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, that is the words of the law, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land that he swore to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, houses full of good things that you filled not, wells digged that you dig not, vineyards, olive trees that thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. For he says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, that you the Father of our only begotten, your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we praise your holy name that we are your adopted sons and daughters through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. So on this Father's Day, I pray that we honor you, our Heavenly Father, and our natural fathers in the flesh, those still living and those who have passed on to be with you. And I pray now that the legacy that they left us will live on in us, their children, and their grandchildren. For in Jesus' name we pray these things, and amen. We know that we would not be here today worshiping our Lord as we do had it not been for the faithfulness and the example of our faithful forefathers in the truth of God's Word. Not just our natural ancestors, but also our spiritual forefathers in the church. The Bible says, I believe it's in Psalm chapter 140, that one generation shall praise His name to the next generation. And so, it is so vitally important, it's imperative that happen. That fathers and mothers teach their children in the ways of God. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For when we fail to do so, then our society begins to break down. And unfortunately, we see the reality of that in our society today in the breakdown of the home and the family unit. There are more homes today that are fatherless than ever before. And that, I believe, is the root cause of the ills in our society. But children need both their fathers and their mothers. Children need a stable home in which to grow up, to feel loved, to feel safe, and to learn about the Lord. Now, the Lord through Moses begins now in verse 4 of our text by saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one Lord. There is only one true and living God." Through the history of Israel, verse 4 and 5 of Deuteronomy 6 became one of the most important verses in Jewish society. The Lord our God, He is one Lord. Only one God. Now, we understand a little bit about the truth that, yes, there's one Lord, but He relates to us in three ways. As God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe that. We believe in the Trinity. We don't fully understand it, and we never will on this side of heaven's pure world, but He is the Father. The Old Testament is God the Father is the primary one who reveals Himself. And then when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea of the Virgin Mary, in the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's God the Son who is primary in our focus, the way He relates to us. And then after His death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus said, "I will send you another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is also God in us, the hope of glory." But there is only one true God. In the Ten Commandments, you remember, the Lord said that, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt not bow down to any other god. You shall not make any graven image, because I am a jealous God," He says, There's only one true and living God. And he says, thou shalt love this one true living Lord, Lord thy God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is what Jesus called in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 22, the first and the greatest of all of God's commandments. That we are to love the Lord with all that we have in our very being, because He alone is worthy of that devotion and of that love. And then Jesus said, and the second one is likened to the first one, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. But then later Jesus would also teach that we should love one another as Jesus loved each and every one of us. And that He loved us with an unconditional love that said, I love you so much that I'll give my very life to save you from death and destruction. It is the gospel message contained in the true Word of God that we then, as fathers, are to teach unto our children and, yes, our grandchildren as well. So he says then in verse number 6, and these words which I command thee this day, they shall be in your heart. In your heart. Now, before his word can be in our heart and in our spirit, it first must get into our mind. And how do the words of God get into our mind? Through reading and studying and meditating upon God's holy word. The scriptures tell us in the New Testament that we are to study his word, that we might be a workman that needs not to be ashamed, so that we may be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And then we find in Psalm chapter 1, where he says, blessed is the man that does not sit in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. I hope and pray that we don't just read our Bibles maybe on Saturday night or Sunday morning before we go to church. We need to be meditating and studying and praying for the Lord to help us to apply His Word every day. Now we find the example of godly fathers. Now, the first, as I've already mentioned, a godly father, he is to love God supremely. Now, of course, all of God's children, all of us, are commanded in that verse number 5 to love God above all else. Now, we are to love our families. We must love our wives and our children, and we must provide for our families according to God's will. But our Father in heaven gives first priority. Jesus said he that doesn't love me above all else is not worthy of me, nor worthy of my kingdom. He must be first. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33, seek you first God and His kingdom, then all the other things in life will fall into place. And so, the first mark, or example, of a godly father is that he will love the Lord God above all else. Even in chapter 10, it says this in verse number 12 of Deuteronomy. Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him. To love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all of your soul. He says that's what the Lord requires. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. Rather, it is a command, a requirement that we fear Him, that we walk in His ways, that we love Him and serve Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. So that is a mark of a godly father that we should, must, we're required to love the Lord supremely. Second, we are to love God's Word. We are to love His Word. For He says in our text, beginning in verse 6, "And these words which I command you this day, they shall be in your heart." The psalmist David said in Psalms chapter 119, verse 11, David said, "Your word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so, when God's word is hidden in our heart, and then we're out in the world, and we're tempted to sin, let us turn to the refuge of His Word. Call to remembrance. Let's ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Would this please Him? Would this honor Him? If the answer is no, we must turn away from those things. We must hide God's Word in our heart before we are able to teach it to our children. See, we can't teach our children what we don't know ourselves. And so, we have the responsibility. And that's, you know, God gave fathers, husbands, to be the head of the home. And it is our primary responsibility to teach our children alongside our wife. So He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Not just reading it, but we are to talk about it when we sit down at the dinner table, when we walk we're working around the home, when we lie down at night before we go to bed. We should be teaching our children devotionals from the Bible. We should be praying with them before they go to sleep. And in the morning time, we should be rejoicing and thanking God for them, that we've been blessed to be awakened to a new day to serve the Lord again. It's important that we commit God's Word to our memory. He says, "Bind my words for a sign upon your hand and as frontlets between your eyes." It is a good practice to write scriptures on note cards or strips of paper and tape them to your bathroom mirror or your bedroom dresser, wherever in the house that you want to put up the Word of God, so that when you're in the kitchen or the bedroom or the bathroom, you can read verses from the Bible. That's what He's talking about. Bind them on your hand and be as frontless between your eyes. Write them on the post of your house and on your gates, on your doors, the doors of your house. It helps us to remember the Lord. when we see scriptures put up in our home. And it shall be, as He says, that is what we are to do. God's Word is so vitally important that it must be in the forefront of our minds and our hearts. In chapter 11 of Deuteronomy, verses 18 through 20, let's read these words. Chapter 11, verses 18 through 20. Therefore, He says, shall you lay up these My words, lay up My words, chapter 11, verse 18, lay up these My words in your heart and in your soul. Bind them, again He says, for a sign on your hand, that they might be as frontless between your eyes, that you might see them, and you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when you rise up. Write them on the doorposts and upon the gates. And He gives a promise there in verse 21 of the blessing and benefit of doing this, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. There's a promise there in keeping this command to honor fathers and mothers. And in that command, there is also the command to fathers and mothers to teach their children. And He says the promise is that your days may be multiplied upon the earth, and that it will be like heaven upon earth. We can have a foretaste of heaven on this earth as we try to walk the way the Lord would have us to walk in the kingdom of God here in this world. Heaven upon earth. We can experience a foretaste of glory divine. And so, fathers are to love God supremely. Fathers are to love the Word of God so much, they will hide His Word in our heart and teach His Word diligently unto our children. Next, we find in Ephesians chapter 5, of course, before you were a father, you were a husband, weren't you? And husbands are to love their wives. In Ephesians chapter 5. And we've been through this recently when I preached through Paul's letter to Ephesians. But it's so vitally important that we cannot overlook the example of a godly father. We must remember that he was first a godly husband. And so we find, as he says in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. If we love our wives the way the Lord commands us to, and love them as our own flesh, with the kind of love that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has for you and me, for His church, that is a sacrificial love that thinks of the well-being of our wives and children first and above all else, then we're going to have a home blessed by the Lord. Because Jesus Christ loved us so much that He gave Himself for His bride, the church. A godly husband is to be giving of himself every day for his wife and children, as he honors her and his children. Now we find that a godly father also loves the Lord's church. Now, ideally, the father is supposed to be the one who leads his family in coming to church, in church attendance. Of course, we know that many times that doesn't happen, but we know that the Lord would have us to love His church. And when we come to worship Him on the Lord's Day with our wives and our children, God is pleased with that. It honors Him. And the Word of the Lord is further instilled in our family units. Always remember, though, that it is the home that is the first and primary source of Bible teaching for our children. And when we come to church to worship the Lord together, that is to be a supplement to that. A supplement. So, fathers, we cannot shirk or relinquish our God-given duties in the home. We cannot just pass it on to the corporate church. It is the responsibility in the home. And then we are to love our children so much that we are willing to give our lives for them. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, says this in verse number 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but rather bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Children are such a blessing. The psalmist said that they're such a blessing. He described the blessing of children this way in Psalm chapter 127. Psalms chapter 127. This is a song of degrees of Solomon. And he says in verses 3, 4, and 5, concerning children, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord." Children belong to God. They don't belong to you and me. Children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His, that is, the Lord's reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, a soldier, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate, the city gate. So when we bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, He here compares them to arrows in our quiver. And they are a protection against the wiles of the devil. Now, when we think about bringing up our children, we need to also remember that our children have a great responsibility as well. Children are to listen to the counsels of their godly fathers. Notice this in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Proverbs chapter 4. The wise man Solomon says this, how children are to listen to the instruction of their father. Proverbs 4:1. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law. For he says, I was my father's son, tender, and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. He taught me. My father, he says, taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Solomon here speaks to his own children. And he reminds them, his father David taught him the Word of God. So we are to listen. And not only are we to listen, but as long as it's true and God's Word, then of course we are to obey. None of us are perfect. We're sinners. We're fallen beings. We fall short. And I'm sure sometimes you have felt in some way like a failure as a parent, a father, or a mother. But when you have done the very best you can in what you know to be right, what you know to be the truth, please don't beat yourself up and blame yourself when your children make mistakes and go astray as they grow up. Because there's only so much we can do. As they grow up, they must also be led by the Spirit of the Lord and take responsibility for their lives. And so we find that a godly father loves his children that much. Now, a godly father will also discipline his children when they disobey or go astray. Just like our Heavenly Father disciplines us. The writer of Hebrews teaches this in Hebrews chapter 12. Beginning in verse 7, he says, beginning in verse 6, discipline, correction is extremely important. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens or disciplines and scourges every son whom He receives. God, our Father, He disciplines us when we sin against Him. For if you endure God's chastening, God deals with us as with sons. Because He asked the question, what son is he whom the Father chastens not? The Proverbs say, the father or mother who fails to discipline their children actually hate their children. And it's called tough love, isn't it? Tough love. We discipline them because we love them. He says in verse 9, furthermore, we've had fathers in our flesh, our natural father, who corrected us, and we gave them reverence or honor. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father, our Heavenly Father, and live? We must do that. We have to love God supremely, subject ourselves to the Lord. And that is the example that we want our children to see in our own life. He says, barely for a few days they disciplined or chastened us after their own pleasure or after their own understanding of how God would have them to discipline their children. But the Lord does it. It's for their profit and for our profit that we might be partakers of God's holiness. If we fail to discipline our children, it might seem joyous for a season to them, but if it goes on continually, they're just going to get worse and worse in disobeying what's right. When it's exercised properly, the Scripture here says that it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised by it. And then finally this morning, we know our Heavenly Father loves us more than we can ever love our own children. And that, isn't that a wonderful thought to know? He loves us more than we can even love our own children. I want to close with these thoughts in 1 John chapter 3. The epistle of 1 John chapter 3. The Apostle John writes these words, 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father, our Heavenly Father, has bestowed upon us. What kind of love has He given to us that we should be called the sons, that is, the children of God? We are His children. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Jesus taught that if you love Me and keep My commandments, the world will hate you. If they persecuted Me, they will persecute you. We are His children now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be His children. But we all have a wonderful hope. Here it is. Now are we the sons or children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know how it's going to be. But someday we know this. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And then He proceeds to tell us, because of that hope that we have, that we are to strive to keep His Word, that we might abide in His love. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.